Hey, what is going on, everybody? It's time for the RGH podcast with MTashed and Cacus HD and True. Where the hell is that guy at? He's on vacation drinking Mai Tai. Yeah, we actually kicked him off the podcast. We didn't like his tude, if you know what I'm saying. So now you're stuck with us two, the real gamers, okay? We're going to talk...
The Real Gamer Hour podcast, but then there's the real, real gamers of the Real Gamer Hour podcast.
Right?
You can't call yourself a real, real gamer unless you have at least 3 YouTube channels, right, Dash?
Exactly. In my case, I've got 4.
Yeah, nice.
Bro, I made a YouTube channel, got 30,000 subs, and then quit within a week. It was incredible. It was like... It's like a speedrun.
You rode higher than most people could possibly dream of.
Right?
You were doing some wild stuff out there, for sure.
I went hard, fast, furious, and then I gave it all up within a week. Because I was like,
yeah,
you know what?
Pretty much immediately.
I think I bit off more than I could chew. So today is going to be a pretty quick episode. We were looking around at meaningful gaming. We'll talk.
There's a couple interesting things.
But just not quite the depth and deepness that we're used to here on the RGH podcast. But we'll go through it. We're going to talk about Diablo 3 getting an update, as well as Diablo 4 news. We're going to talk about Genshin Impact getting some major competition. Not just like a little trickle. We're talking some major competition coming to the market. Destiny 2 has some PvE drama with the Grandmasters.
Oh, yeah.
Rainbow Six is coming to mobile, which is actually pretty big. And some big nerfs in Rainbow Six that I'll hint at, I'll talk about, but let's just jump in. So Diablo 3 is on the 15th, they're doing a new season. This is season 26. That is insanity.
It's been around for a hot minute. To put that in perspective, we are on season 16 in Destiny 2. So they're 10 seasons ahead of us.
Yeah.
I don't even think they started doing seasons when Diablo 3 first came out. I think it was kind of introduced a little bit later, the redoing seasonal stuff.
Right.
And I'm not sure how long their seasons last. I'm not sure how like comparable to a Destiny 2 season, but that's a lot of seasons, bro.
Yeah.
Like, and there's people that play Diablo 3 that are back every single season, and they're just like, they just, Diablo 3 is their thing, and you know, there'll be changes, little balancing tweaks every season, and it's crazy. And I remember there was a time, I don't know if I told you about this, Tasha, I got back into Diablo 3 a couple years ago, and I was like grinding some seasonal characters and stuff, and this was back, it might have actually been like season 17, 18, 19 of like Diablo 3.
That sounds familiar to me. Yeah. I remember you saying something about that.
So it was like several years ago, but I was like back in it. And dude, there's like a pretty sizable community there.
Yeah.
And like, dude, like a video, like a YouTube video on like the change to this Diablo 3 armor set will have like 150,000 views or more, 200,000 views. And you're like, geez.
Yeah, and they're like balancing the sets. They're adding changes to like balancing the greater rifts. They're adding like a whole new kind of like theme or mechanic to it. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, at least you're keeping it alive. They haven't, and it must be worth it to them to keep it alive. There must be enough players, enough hype.
And the interesting part that says to me is like, Diablo 3 is still going, still has a player base. Path of Exile, still going, still has a player base. Ark, massive player base. Like, there's actually a pretty significant player base that is into these, like, Diablo-esque, like, action... I don't know how they got the name action RPGs, but, you know, action RPGs. And it's kind of like, you know, when Diablo 4, which we're going to talk about, comes out, like, are they just going to... It is going to be so hype. Like, Diablo is, like, the action RPG, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think if you asked a lot of people who are playing Ark, Tash, you probably know, it's like, hey, where'd you come from? Diablo. Like, I used to play Diablo, now I'm playing Ark, right?
Right.
So, like, when Diablo 4 launches, is it going to be, like, just this huge, like, Elden Ring-style game? Just, like, siphons all these action RPG players into one major game?
Yeah. And I mean, they just posted some news, and it's mostly just environmental stuff showing it off. But like, there's like a swamp and a dungeon desert and a thing. And I'm like, we're looking at this before the podcast and we're like, how is this game not done? Like, they've got combat going. They've got abilities they've shown off. They've got all these maps. The pixels on this thing looks incredible. And I'm like, what else are you possibly building? And now the one thing that I've heard is Diablo 4 is essentially an MMO. Like, it's an always online kind of thing. I think it's supposed to rival a game like Lost Ark. And so the issue with that is there's a lot of content that needs to be made. Raid bosses, dungeon bosses, lots of progression. Maybe we're seeing all these open worlds, these big, beautiful things, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's like 3% of the game because we need it to be so much bigger. And it's like, dude, what? Really?
It looks playable.
Like, it looks polished.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Dude, if I had seen that, I'd be like, if I didn't know what I already know about this game and the fact that they delayed it without announcing the release date, which is like so, that still blows my mind, is they delayed a game that they didn't announce a release date on just to say like, we're so far away.
Yeah, they essentially said, relax. Like, you just don't even think about it.
Yeah, we're just going to go ahead and delay this right now because like, we literally, like, it's not even coming anywhere near where you want it to, stupid idiot. But like, so they come out and say that. If I didn't know that, if I was like, was in a coma and I woke up and I watched some of this Diablo gameplay, I would be like, oh, it's releasing this year.
Right.
It's releasing at the end of the month. It looks so polished. It looks so good, dude. Like, it blows my mind that there's still like multiple years off of Diablo 4. Like, multiple years off.
Do you know what? This might sound a little morbid or like it might be like a sad thing. What if they did have so much progression and then all the scandals were happening and like it just didn't progress? You know, it's like they were so on pace, doing so good, but they've just had 2 years of nothing. Just people aren't working on the game, lack of progression, people are quitting in the middle of the project and delaying things. Like, were they on the cusp of you know, were they supposed to be 2022, 2023? COVID happens, all these allegations happen, and now it's like, it's just not anywhere near where it's supposed to be. I don't know.
Like, that really could be a factor. And that's why the game looks so freaking good. It's like they got to a pretty far point in development and then they've just stagnated, right? But obviously this is hypothetical, but like they're pretty freaking far discussed. Then they just stopped and stagnated and they haven't really made too much progress and they're kind of getting their feet back under them. Could be.
Yeah. I just want to play it. It looks good. It's just like when they tease
I'm
with
making
that,
a Diablo 4 channel or something, right? I can't wait for this. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really excited.
But even Diablo Immortal has been like a very long undertaking. I remember that guy in the red shirt. Is this another day April Fool's joke? Like, that seems an eternity ago. And Diablo Immortal still isn't live.
Salute to that man, single-handedly save gaming. Like,
what a legend. He's a soldier in the trenches.
That produced the like, do you guys not have phones moment, which is kind of like, really, I think, showed just how out of touch developers can be. I you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we've talked about this before, but I've seen time and time and again developers kind of get the like, we know what's best mentality, sometimes a little too often. Often they do know what's best, but also often they don't. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, yeah, we're gonna announce a mobile game at BlizzCon. It's like, guess, like, mobile, yeah, we've talked about this, mobile is huge. Mobile is the future of gaming, whether you like it or not, right? Because there's so many markets, especially in Asia, that they only play on their phone, right? Yeah. That's when they play, right? But guess who's not at BlizzCon? Mobile gamers, dude. That's who's not going to BlizzCon dressed up as their favorite Diablo 4 character, right?
Like, exactly.
Oh, I'm a mobile gamer. I'm here for BlizzCon. Dude, so it's like, it shows how completely out of touch they were in that moment to announce it there. It's like, dude, come on.
I mean, also, though, like, I understand it because, like, those people are making this game. It's their, like, lifeblood. They're trying to build this thing. Can you imagine someone comes to your video and is like, Krankus, maybe you should try covering this. It's like, you just roll your eyes. You're like, hell up. Like, you don't know nothing about game dev. And I get it. I get it. But
yeah. But it's also like, all they need to do in that conference is preview Diablo Immortal. Right after that, just like black, you hear like
the girl come in, like, yeah, the devil is coming back.
And then the four like comes up, but it's a bloody four. And that's all you need. Everyone will be like, oh my god, right? Yeah. Like, that's all you
it's
need.
It's official.
Yeah,
right?
You just need to make it official that yeah, we're making this, right? So that's all they really needed to do.
I'm so hyped for the game. And it's probably years away, so imagine if they did do that, though. It would be, like, 10 years of people going, like, when's the game coming out? So maybe...
But that's... Dude, that's... They always do that, dude. Like, when's Overwatch 2 coming?
Apparently the beta's coming, so, like, maybe it's closer than we thought.
Dude, like, who knows? Like, everyone's at a state of unknown with, yeah, like, every single, like, Blizzard game. It's the funniest thing. It's like, being like a fan, like a hardcore fan, like being a hardcore Diablo fan, like all you play is Diablo 3, you're waiting for Diablo 4. It must be the most frustrating thing. Like, mm-hmm, you're like, I have no idea like when it's coming out. You know what I mean?
Actually, that's kind of a good segue. Genshin people have been thinking about that for a while, because it's like, there's been a few rumors of games that are like, ooh, this looks kind of like Genshin. It might be a competitor, but it's also been a year and a half. And Genshin has been pretty much uncontested in the market. And one of the games that people have heard about is Tower Fantasy. And it's been a rumbling for a very long time, probably over a year, like probably a month into Genshin, I had heard about this Tower Fantasy game. But it was MIA, nowhere to be heard of. Apparently it did launch in like China, and it didn't have great results there. Like, there was some arguments that it was kind of buggy, but it's been dark, even... That was probably a few months ago now. And then they just, 2 weeks ago, released a trailer. And they're like, by the way, the beta's coming. And it's like, hey, what? Really? And so, like, now there's some competition starting to come out for Genshin Impact. And it does look good. But even, like, I mean, I can't say too much, but, like, they've started contacting some of the Genshin people saying, hey, you want to get your hands on the game kind of thing. And so that is good. And that's exciting. But the other thing is, as soon as that happens, all of a sudden, do you know the game Arknights?
Kind of. Have you ever heard of it? Familiar.
So Arknights is kind of like a tower defense game with anime chicks. So you know, there's a bow girl, you place her on the map, and she does certain attacks. And
how skimpy is the armor we're talking about?
Pretty skimpy. But pretty skimpy? You know, it's tower defense anime version. They just tweeted, like, maybe like a week after that, they're like, oh, by the way, we're making an open world RPG game. That's like, it's going to be like a tactical RPG. They've showed trailers of it. Or like a kind of like a demo, and it's like, holy, that looks insane. Like, it looks amazing.
Really?
And then do you know the anime Seven Deadly Sins with Melodious and stuff? They came
I've heard
out
of it, yeah,
a while ago too. They're like, oh, by the way, we're making an open world game. They showed a footage of like all the attacks, and like you can change between the characters, and they can like the one girl can like slam down and make a big pillar of rock that you can climb up and stuff. And it's like, oh my god, this looks sick. And they're swimming.
Yeah, your game has so much like good competition, that you can like branch off in. My main game, Destiny, what are the competition? Wonderlands? I'm already bored of Wonderlands. I got to the max level and I'm done. There's nothing to do.
Yeah.
Right? What? There's nothing. Like, every game that is supposed to rival Destiny or be a Destiny alternative dies, bro. Anthem, dead. Like,
yeah.
Borderlands 3 tittled out and died pretty fast. Like, Wonderlands, I mean, like, they're definitely, I shouldn't say the Borderlands games, they're definitely not dead, but certainly not enough to like cover full time. So
yeah,
like I need that good alternative game, and I need it to be releasing its seasons right in between the Destiny season, so I can go back and forth or something, man. But it's interesting, like, that genre of Genshin Impact has a lot of competition.
Now it does. You know,
now it does.
But it's been so long. And,
but it hasn't.
And I hope I hope that it puts Genshin on its heels a little bit. And like, the other thing too is like, they are one of the least generous gacha games ever. Like, they give the least wishes per day of almost any gacha game in existence, because it takes 3 days to get one wish. In Epic 7... Yeah. I get a free wish every day, and I get currency to like get other wishes, and like it gives you so many things. And then randomly it'll be like, oh, by the way, we updated today. Here's a free 5-star character. And, like, there's more 5 stars in Epic 7. Like, I get that. But they'll just be like, oh, here's a free 5-star character and essentially a constellation for anyone you want. Oh, and a 5-star weapon. And it's like, what? Like, you just give that away. And Genshin Impact's like, you can do a 10-pull once a year. And if they have that competition, people are going to go where they feel like their time is being valued, where they're sick of logging in and doing the daily Genshin grind. And if it's like, oh, I can go play this 7 Deadly Sins game, try a bunch of new characters, have a bunch of fun. And, like, let's be honest, Genshin has been a mini game simulator for a long time. It was so popular at the launch, but it's falling off. It's falling off quickly. People are getting frustrated. And so they're looking for the alternatives. And so they're going to either have to step on the gas to compete again, or honestly, the good news, and if I get to go play Tower Fantasy or some other game, and that's my new main game, I'll do it. If I'm having fun, if the community wants to do it, and if it is a good alternative, I'm happy to do that, because I just want to play a game that's fun. And Genshin is really not right now. It is completely lack of endgame, lack of anything to do. And so veteran players, I think they're getting tired, and they need that change. So it's kind of nice. New players are going to have a blast on Genshin. The game,
I mean, it's
truly...
It's,
like, if you played again, because you've been playing a long time, you've got, like, 3 regions to explore, underground caves. Like, you've got a ton of content if you wanted to just play an adventure. Yeah. And I bet you would have a good time. Some of the story quests really are good. But that's the issue, is, like, once you have explored, once you've done those quests, there isn't anything to do. You beat the game, and then you quit for 5 more months. And that's kind of the situation they're in right now, so.
Well, it's good old-fashioned, like, capitalism and competition in that sense of just, hey, if you're going to be lazy and just milk new characters because that's what you're making money, and then not actually give us things to do with those characters, again, it's like, this other game's going to come along, and they're not going to be lazy. Like, someone's going to come along, and they're not going to be lazy. And then that, like... Best example, Elden Ring. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Elden Ring came along and they didn't cut corners. You know what I mean? Everything you can possibly wish for is, like, in that game. It's so expansive. It's so big. You know, you see the best example, you know, like, not Fallout, Far Cry. All the Far Cry games, they're all open world. But people are like, you play a Far Cry game, they're just every base is the same base. They're just reusing assets. It's just like, just spread out over a massive map. Then you look at Elden Ring, right? And there, again, they're not cutting any corners. There's no reuse. There maybe a little bit of reusing assets, but not really. And everyone's just loving it, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, yeah, if you, especially with gaming, and especially with a gacha game that's free to play, like, there's a little bit of buyer's remorse and all those, like, inherent biases when it comes to... Oh, I'll have that one.
Oh, get a little drink.
Drink delivery.
Yummy.
So there's those inherent biases. If you buy a game, if you purchase a game, if you spend money on a game, right? You're, like, maybe less likely to switch because you have that sunk cost fallacy. Mm-hmm. And I think that does contribute to games like Destiny and Genshin to a point, because it's like, I spent $500 wishing in Genshin. I spent God knows how much money on Destiny Silver or whatever, right? And you're like, I can't switch games now. I have all this money invested in this account and this character. But with a game like Genshin, like I said, if you're not someone who spent a bunch of money wishing and you're just a free-to-play player, you have no you'll switch at any time to another free-to-play game.
Well, the only thing is, though, I think there is even, like, that sunk cost fallacy, but also, like, the FOMO is, like, but if I do quit Genshin, I'll miss out on a month of Primo Gems and a month of events, and, like, what if a new character comes out and I won't have it? So, like, I think people are, like, addicted to that, and, like, they can't break away because they're like, oh, I don't want to lose all this stuff, but they also don't have the alternative to pull them away because... You know, I've been thinking about it. Someone spends $500 on Genshin, they have fun, but eventually, like, they will get over that sunk cost, and it's like, I have nothing to use this stuff on. I play the game, I enjoyed it, but it's like, it is time to move on if there's a good alternative. Because, like, right now, I can just blow everything up in the game with my eyes closed. I can beat the Spiral Abyss with, like, 2 characters out of like, 4 on every team and, like, beat it. And it might not be the fastest, but I can beat it. And so it's like, why do I have 4 people? Why do I have 8 people? Why do I have all these artifacts and weapons? Because I just destroy everything in milliseconds. And so, you know, every character and every dollar you spend, I think it loses a bit of that value. It's like, what's the point? But if you join a new gacha game and every single thing you find is like progress and progress, that I think that addiction outweighs the old game that there's nothing to do.
Yeah, I wonder.
You know what I mean?
But it's also like, maybe, you know, it's what the Hasbro and Magic the Gathering say. They say this product might not be for you. And they say that, I'll just explain that. They say that to like the more expensive stuff. Like, so in Magic the Gathering, you can get like the collector packs. They're like $20 a pack, and they come with, you have all these players complaining like, hey, you know, because reprinting cards is important to get the cards that are highly played, mm-hmm. but they reprint them in the $20 super expensive packs with the alternate art. And people are like, well, why can't we get some lower cost reprints? And they say, oh, well, this product just might not be for you. AKA, you're too poor, stupid. Right. Like, you know what I mean? It's super crappy. But I potentially, like, Genshin do the same thing where they're like, listen, Tash, you want to go in, you want to grind, and you want to, like, do hard content? Maybe this game isn't for you. Maybe this game is for the people who want to, like, you know, have, like, simp over the characters, make art and all that stuff over the characters, and they just go in and play their favorite characters or whatever, do very simplistic things.
Yeah.
They just enjoy playing those characters and not having a hard time. Everything's easy.
I know that that's the truth. I know that's the truth. I've known for a year, but I see the potential, and it's so mind-numbingly frustrating. Because it's like, do you not see what you have in front of you? Like, it could be my favorite game ever. But they just won't double down. And so I am looking for the alternative. I'm really glad they're starting to pop up. And, like, Genshin literally changed my life. I tripled in size because of Genshin Impact. And I have had genuine fun a lot of the time. But it's getting to the point where it's like, it obviously isn't going to change, and they're okay doing the minigame stuff. And if they do change and add endgame, I'll come back. There's no reason I can't come back. But, you know, I think a lot of people are getting bored, and having the alternatives is exciting.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
And speaking of alternatives, like I said, when's Destiny getting an alternative? Because there's a little bit of drama going on. So it's kind of just an interesting story. I just want to talk about this because it's pretty interesting, and I want to get your take because you played a lot of Destiny. Now you don't anymore, so it's interesting just watching you from the outskirts, right? So here, Grandmaster Nightfalls launched yesterday. Generally, Grandmaster Nightfalls are a pretty okay piece of content. Like, they're just the same strikes that you've been doing for the last 5 freaking years. Some of the new strikes are in this rotation, but still, it's the same. Literally, next week, I think, is Arms Dealer. Like, that was vanilla Destiny Nightfall. You know what I mean? Like, that strike has been in the game.
Yeah.
The first one. That strike has been in the damn game for 5 years. So you play that same strike. It's just harder. There's certain modifiers around it. There's certain champions in it. And if you beat it, you get, I think you get exotics to drop pretty regularly. You get the Nightfall, adept versions of the Nightfall weapons, and you get some elemental shards. Here's where things get interesting. So, there's a new modifier that they introduced this season called Acute Burn. So it'll be like Acute Arc Burn. So it's like you do 25% more damage with arc stuff. Okay, cool. But you take 50% more damage via arc damage.
Right.
And there's an old patch note that specifically says, we're trying out acute burns, and this is going to be in all the Nightfall content except, it was all caps, except Grandmaster Nightfalls.
Mm-hmm.
Then Grandmaster Nightfalls start yesterday, acute burns in it. And you're like, so of course everyone's tweeting, you know, what's going on? Is this a glitch? Should you guys change your minds? So then DMG came out and said, like, no, it was a mistake on the patch notes. And apparently it was this other random perk that I can't even remember. Like, I basically never heard, or a random modifier that I've like never even heard of, right? A seasonal modifier or something. That is the one that's not in Grandmasters. The acute burns are supposed to be in Grandmasters. So it's opened up quite a discussion. Some people like it, feel like it's, you know, an extra bit of challenge. Certainly doing 25% more damage is going to influence your loadout and potentially could help. But a lot of people, and I am one of those people, think I just don't like the insta-kill thing. I don't like just getting one-shot kill from an enemy across the map that I didn't even see. And you're like, okay.
There's no counterplay to it.
There's not really much counterplay. Now, there is some counterplay. I've been arguing on Twitter about it. People are like, well, if you have the dust field grenades that protect you and you're blocking with a sword and you've got every resistance known to man on, you can survive a couple shots. And it's like, okay. Like, you're right. You can craft a build really based on survivability and potentially survive it. But that kind of means that negates 99% of the other builds in the game that can't do that.
Right.
And for me, I wish they would find a different way to up the difficulty, add more enemies, add more different cool types of enemies, add interesting attacks, something, right? Than just like, now you take more damage. Because that was the Borderlands 2 overpowered level and stuff, like style of approach. Mm-hmm. That's like, you just take more damage. And then it's just like, okay, what you're basically doing is forcing out 99% of the builds that can't deal enough damage or take enough damage, and you're left with like one or two builds that are viable. And I don't like that. I like when there's a good variety of builds you can use.
Do you know what I think they should do? And it would be spicy.
Before you say that, There's also a little bit of a conspiracy.
Okay, here, let me hear that first.
Like, the conspiracy is just like, did they really mess up the patch notes? Because the patch notes like seem pretty like obvious in what they're trying to do. Or did they like accidentally have the burns in and they're like, oh my god, like another thing. You know, they finally, after over a month, apparently, according to the new patch notes, they finally fixed Xur. So he's dropping, you know, high armor stats. He was like broken for over a month, right? So it's like another thing goes wrong. I honestly, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Bungie was like, oh, you know what? Screw it. Just say we intended it, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, we don't want to fix it. Just change the patch notes. Because, like, the patch notes seem super obvious, and it seems like the obvious decision to make. And I feel like they're like, ah, we don't want to deal with it. Just say we're wrong in the patch notes, right? That's right. The conspiracy. Who knows if that actually happened, but that's the conspiracy.
I think anything that's just killing you in one shot like that, it just slows down play. Here's what I would like to see.
Yeah.
Here's what I would like to see. You start the Nightfall, and it's almost like a battle royale game. There's like a plasma field that is just going to chase you. And so you have to clear efficiently and quickly, and it like forces you through. And like you can maybe survive in it and stuff, but like it's a constant pressure. Things like that, like a time gating, like a time threshold where it's like you gotta speed up or else you're going to have some more issues or something like that. Mechanics like that, I would find more exciting because getting one banged isn't fun, but clearing effectively and skillfully, that might be more exciting. Or, you know, even some thresholds, like if you clear it in, because right now it's like if you kill all the champions,
if you kill all the champions, you get platinum.
Beat it in 15 minutes, you get an extra chance at a roll or an exotic. Like, things like that, I think, would push me to play them and be excited about them, because it feels like some sort of challenge to overcome instead of how can I one hit this thing before it one hits me? Because that's what a lot of the Nightfalls are. It's like, all right, we know that this super annoying enemy is up ahead. Let's pop our buffs. Everyone snipe it at the same time, and then you just don't even have to deal with the mechanic. It just dies, and that's not very fun either. It just feels like this like weird surgical one answer, you know, fits all.
No, I agree. I think it's just like, again, it is kind of like, it's just the, like, I hate to say it, but it is like the laziest way to increase difficulty is just to make you die faster, right? And it sucks because Bungie is so not lazy when it comes to stuff like raids and stuff. You have such interesting mechanics that you have to overcome. Mm-hmm. And then it's just a Grandmaster's just like, yeah, but then everything does more damage. It's like,
at the end of the day, though, you already could hear it in your voice as you said it, like, yeah, it's the arms dealer. Like, it's been 5 years. Yeah. No one wants to play the arms dealer ever again.
Yeah, no, well, so actually, old. It is the best time to farm because it's the quickest Nightfall. Funny enough, like, the arms dealer is the most, that's just so funny. The arms dealer is the most exciting one because it is the easiest and the fastest because you can one phase the boss. And so if you are going to farm for weapons, you want to do arms dealer, which is kind of how these stupid grandmasters have broken down. Which one is the easiest one? Which one has the boss without the freaking three phase that you can just kill right away? And again, it's like that kind of just shows the age of the playlist. Like, we're breaking it down to which one can I just get through the fastest?
Yeah.
And that's just so much of Destiny's content.
Which is a shame. It's like you should want to go in and enjoy it. But the only reason you're doing it is for the reward at the end and to spend the least amount of time possible. So
I want to get in, I want to get out. I mean, that's how they ruined Gambit. They like made Gambit longer and players like, no, I want to get in, I want to get out with my loot.
Yeah.
I don't want to play. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just such a, it's just very interesting.
Yeah, we'll see how they play it, how that plays out. Let's move on to our final topic here. Rainbow Six Siege has honestly done a very good job continuing to update their game, keeping their player base very alive and overall healthy. It's a popular game still. Very popular.
Crazy old game.
Like, you compare it to, like, Halo Infinite and how quickly it died off. You compare it to the Battlefield game. Like, it, this game has some legs, some staying power. It's gone through some phases where it drops down, but then it gets more players than it initially had.
Ubisoft is the opposite of EA. EA, the games die, and then it stops supporting them. Ubisoft will stick with a game. Dude, Ubisoft, like, freaking For Honor still has a player base, man.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like it still gets updates. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
No, it was for, like, a long time, and it was one of those games where it had more players a couple years than the launch. Like, it somehow had more people come into it because people hear about the updates, they try it again. Yeah. And then some of those players kind of latch on and stay longer, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's so interesting, right? Like Ubisoft is good with that. I mean, they make a lot of mistakes, but they just support their games often.
Division 2 keeps getting raised, keeps getting updates. Dude, apparently they're hiring.
Yeah, last week they're hiring more people for Division 2. It's like, what? Not even Division 3, Division 2. Or maybe they just said Division 2, and then when you applied, they're like, actually, it's for Division 3. But still, like, dude, that's crazy. I mean, heck, Bungie's still hiring people for Destiny 2. That game's still going. Like, if you really can, like, win back a player base and improve the game, and like you said, potentially eclipse your launch by just supporting a game consistently.
Yeah, for sure. And, now Rainbow Six, they're doing a mobile game. And I looked at some of the screenshots. It looks like they didn't lose very much fidelity.
No,
like, it looks like a PS4 game. Like, it looks good.
It looks like it plays pretty freaking similarly, too, to, like, normal Rainbow Six Siege. And, like, I mean, can you... I assume it's, like, you can use your same account, right? In, like, your PC account, you just use it on mobile, right?
Probably. I mean, I'm guessing you could link it up.
If you can, I mean, like, that's sweet. Like, oh my goodness, I'd love to just, hey, I have my Destiny account on my phone. I just play Destiny on my phone when I'm doing whatever, right?
Yeah, can you imagine, like, just, like, checking Xur from your phone here and there? Like, just
right?
Like, right?
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
take a poop and do a little strike.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Like, dude, that'd be freaking sweet. And, like, if they pulled that off with Rainbow Six Siege, maybe there's, like, a possibility where they do pull it off with Destiny other games. Because, like, especially these older games, man, like, there's no reason, especially when, like, phones are getting so much better, like, there's no reason they can't run on a mobile device.
Yeah, truly.
It just with, like, you know, lower the graphics quite a bit and then, you know, lower the rendering distance. And, yeah, there's no reason you can't go and check Xur on your phone.
Yeah, and there's some games that truly, they play just as good, if not better. Like, I play, have you ever played that card game Slay the Spire? It's like a
roguelike. No, you've talked about it a bunch, yeah.
Love that game. But they put it on your phone, and it's like, it's probably a better game on the phone. It's easy to play. You just, you know, do a run here and there. Like, it's such a good little roguelike game where you don't need any high stakes clicking and touching, and it just plays well. There's so many games that they're probably doing themselves a disservice not converting to mobile, but it's pretty honest. It's kind of impressive that it's like Rainbow Six on your phone. Like,
yeah.
Wait, really? We're at that
dude,
stage?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I got the new Samsung. This thing was like $2,000. This thing's got like a processor better than my old PC. Like, you can run games on this thing. Like these phones. Now, on the phone, I can play a game, and then on the top of the screen, I can, like, search Reddit while I'm playing the game. Like, you can split-screen it and stuff. So, you know, they're getting pretty advanced overall. I can watch YouTube videos while playing, like, Raid Shadow Damn. Legends on the bottom. So they are getting pretty beefy overall. So I'm not too surprised. What I am surprised about is the quality of the footage. It truly does look like one of the best mobile games I've seen overall. Because you look at, like, PUBG Mobile, and it's like, okay, like, yeah, that thing looks a little scuffed on some of the screenshots. But this one is like, damn, looks good. The only drama with some of this is there was also a Rainbow Six patch. And they nerfed a couple things that are annoying people. One of the smoke characters, they, like, have a gas mask on and everything, but they can't stand in their own smoke. Like, I don't know the game a lot, but people were kind of raging, and they're like, fire guy can stand in fire, doesn't die. You know, this person does this, does, you know, the smoke guy can't stand in his own smoke. Like, what's the,
I know.
Where does this come from? And like, you know, the whole identity of the character is lost there. Like, if they just said all of a sudden, oh yeah, by the way, your person, like, what's his name? In Apex Legends, the poison
Bangalore?
Guy.
Bangalore?
No, the poison guy. It's like, oh by the way, he poisoned
Caustic.
It's like, oh yeah, by the way, Caustic poisons himself now. It's like, well, what's the point of playing this character? It just doesn't make.
What's the gas mask? Take off the gas mask.
Why am I doing that? Or like, if I'm Octane, yeah, but you can't use the speed boost. It's like, well, then it's not Octane anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's frustrating. And I know, because I used to play League of Legends a lot, and sometimes they would nerf a character that I really liked, and it would kill the character, or it's like, well, that's the reason I played the character. Like Lee Sin, they completely changed some of his kit, and they made it so he was pretty much only a jungler instead of a top laner. And it's like, well, I liked playing him top lane. And they do that with a lot of characters in these games, and it is frustrating for the player base, because you fall in love with the character, you master that character. You can go into that situation, even if they've got the perfect counterplay to you. It's like, I know my character enough to counter the counterplay. And then they change it. And it's not the same thing you fell in love with. So.
Yeah, and they'll do that with every character except for the newest characters that they're selling in the store. Because those can never get nerfed, have you noticed?
Yeah, they're always buffed, but it is what it is. It's still probably a net positive for Rainbow Six. And like, it's one character out of the entire roster. So.
Yeah, I think it is like a huge... The fact that it's going to mobile, huge. Now, we're going to go into RGH After Dark. Gamers, this is where you guys get to ask us questions. So ask away what you guys want us to talk about. But just before you do, we are sponsored by Advanced GG, the best and only clinically proven gaming supplement out there. I got one of the new flavors, Lychee Splash.
Ooh.
Delicious. And if you use code RGH, you get 10% off and you support all three of us. But I should mention, it's a little greedy, but I'm going to mention it just in case, because I'm going to save you guys money. I do have a sale on right now. So if you use code KHD25, it's 25% off.
So use that one or else you're crazy. Save the extra money.
So save the extra money for now. Yeah. If you're watching this in the future, it's done in a couple days. So if you're watching this in the future, code RGH. But right now for the next couple of days, KHD25 is 25% off. Tons of amazing flavors.
You can probably get another flavor too if you're saving that much, which is nice.
So
you can...
They launch so many new flavors, it's hard to keep up with. And so far, almost all of them have been bangers. And I'm going to say almost all of them for me. There's only a couple I'm not a fan of. But even the couple I'm not a fan of, I'll see people on Twitter and stuff being like, I freaking love this flavor, right? So I'm like, yeah, dang, right?
Yeah, like the birthday cake one, it's just not for me. But for other people,
I love it.
Right?
Exactly. So you don't like the birthday cake? That's a great example. Have you tried mixing it with milk?
I have, and I'm just like, it's fine.
I love it.
It's just not for me.
It tastes like a vanilla milk to go, and I'm all about it, right?
That's
a good example. Yeah. But, yeah.
Anyways.
It's lychee. Sorry.
Lychee. If you have any random questions, we'll dingle around here for a few minutes.
So where's True Vanguard? True Vanguard is sipping Mai Tais on a beach somewhere. I forget where exactly he is.
He never even told us. He's just like, when? And he's like, oh, by the way, he sent a picture of himself just smashed with a Mai Tai.
We're like, are you
having a fun podcast? And we're like,
are you gonna show up? And he's just like, he's like, to what? We're like, oh.
I see how it's gonna be.
Yeah, so he's on vacay. What's the next cool guy in QJ trials card? That team was pure gold. I don't know. I didn't watch the video. I just like reached out to a couple of people. We got a team together. I played it. I don't know. Yeah, but tell them to carry me, bro. I'm the PvE scrub. Have you guys tried Div 2 new PvE game mode? Have you guys tried the
tower thing? You like work up a skyscraper apparently, or something like that.
Yeah, Lone Wolf, what are you talking about? Because if it's a tower thing, that's actually a while ago, and yes, I've tried that.
Or is there a new thing that we need to know about?
Is there a new thing though? Yeah, is there a new thing?
We need to get a raid team together.
So the tower, did you try the tower?
Yeah, I did.
It's interesting, right? Like, it's not terrible. The target farming is nice, but then it also kind of like defeats the point to go anywhere else in the game, because you're like, well, I'll just target farm the loot I want in the tower. Mm-hmm. Where I get to choose what loot I want. And so,
which is honestly though, something that's interesting is like, maybe you build a game like The Division with a cool story and a bunch of good missions, but then you just build activities like that that are just the optimal thing, very high tempo, a lot of fun, because you then kill off all the other farming stuff as soon as you introduce a cool thing.
Well, and so the reason, it's very interesting, because like the reason for doing that would make perfect sense as like the death throes of the game. Like, you're wrapping things up, Division 3 is coming, here's the tower, farm exactly what you want, throw together your fun builds, try some stuff out, try to get exactly what you want so you can beat the raids before Division 3 comes out, right?
Mm-hmm.
That makes perfect sense. But the fact that Division 2 is still going, it kind of has made it interesting. Like, I kind of thought, okay, tower, we're wrapping things up, get exactly what you want, right? But now, again, that is still going. It's kind of like, oh, okay. Hold on. He says, Division 2 Countdown. It's their new game mode on PTS. It's like Summit, but worse. Okay, well, no, we haven't tried that.
What's Summit?
Summit is the tower one.
Oh, tower. It's called Summit. Yeah. Okay, yeah. What do you guys think about a new no super mode like the Memory of Felwinter's provided? I mean, like, the question is like, do you take away the identity of Destiny by getting rid of supers? Like, oh, well, I want more gunplay. Honestly, at this point, you can take away supers and the game is still going to be annoying. There's still going to be invis, fusion riflers. There's going to be like all these annoying things in the game. I honestly think that supers are the least of my worry. I truly believe, because they come around once or twice in a game, and yeah. I don't know.
You basically give people a free kill button every once in a while. Is really what it is.
And like the gunplay of Destiny is pretty good and like overall fun and satisfying, but it is also punishingly unbalanced. It is punishingly like unskillful. In-air accuracy issues. Flinch, bullet magnetism issues. Like, there are so many things that you can lose a gunfight that are not your fault. I promise you, Frostbolt wins more engagements than he loses. He obviously has skill. He will dumpster everyone. But there are situations where you'll run into Frostbolt and you will kill him because his bullets randomly get flinched off, or he jumps in the air to finish you off and it misses. It just randomly misses and things like that. It's hard to treat it like a gun skill only shooter game. It's like, it's about magic. It's about jumping around and doing crazy shit. And like, I think if you take that away, people will then look at all the gunplay and go, oh, there's something wrong here. Like, there's some major issues with this. I think people get distracted. So, I don't know.
So, sorry, I'm looking at someone asked me about the Warhammer 40K Darktide. It's like a
horde shooter made by the Vermintide 2 team. Which
I've played Vermintide 2. Every time I would watch people play, I was like, this looks kind of fun.
I mean, if they nail it, it's pretty cool. For some reason, I feel like Warhammer releases all these games and things, and like no one cares about Warhammer. Like, it is definitely
people care.
I don't know.
It's got a pretty like sizable fan base. You don't think it does, but
who?
It does.
I don't know. Again, who? It's like no one I know or interact with knows or cares. Like, no one is like talks about it, but But I mean, I guess there is. He's bringing it up, and like,
so I've seen every. Hold on, looking. I looked at the trailer. Here's in the recommended. Every single Warhammer 40K faction explained. 5.2 million views. So obviously, people care about Warhammer factions, bro.
True.
Russian Badger was Warhammer 40K video. 8.9 million views. What am I doing playing Destiny? I should be playing... Well, Russian Badger is a little bit of an... Whatever he plays pops off. But I think, you know, it looks interesting. It's like, how much customization is there? Because that's the thing. I don't care about a Horde survival game unless I can customize all my stuff and put a build together and do all that jazz.
Right. That's fair. Special ammo still an issue in Destiny? Yeah, for sure. I understand that.
It's always going to be an issue when you have a high time to kill, when you have a zero, like a 1 second time to kill on certain scout rifles, and then you have a sniper rifle that's an instant kill. There's always going to be issues with that.
Yeah, for sure. Division 2 and Destiny mixed, and you've got something. There are great systems in both that, like, if you did put them together, it would absolutely be... For sure. Like, I wish that Destiny had the build complexity of the Division. But I like the Destiny gameplay more. But I like, my thing is, I want to farm a palindrome and have gear that's so good that I one-hit the majority of enemies in a Grandmaster. Because I farmed it, and now I can beat it in 3 minutes. But... I can spend a year farming Grandmasters and raids and stuff, and I can beat it 15 seconds faster than you. There's no advantage. There's so much time gating, and like there isn't that many advantages that you can get. And that's my biggest issue, is it's like, what's the point? I've got the guns. I can beat the raid. I world first, or not world first the raid, but like day one raid race, even after I took a year and a half off, it took me 3 days to get ready, and I had all the guns I really needed to beat that raid. And it's like, what's the point of grinding this game? It's a looter shooter game where I care about almost nothing.
And it's like, you know, like people are, you know, like the new hand cannon. There's like a new Suros hand cannon that came out.
The Cantata.
You know, like Drewski and so on. I'm not calling him out or anything, but like Drewski made a video, hey, this might be the new best hand cannon because it has a Suros origin perk that reduces flinch. It's like, dude, you might be right, but my palindrome took me flawless last time I played. You know what I mean? Like, my palindrome still feels incredible. My God roll palindrome. And my palindrome still has quick draw, right? It's not even, which isn't even necessarily meta, but it's just like, it's like, it's such a good weapon, and it's like, yes, I might get the tiniest bit less flinch with this other gun, but it's like,
does it matter? You know,
it's not it's not that much different, but also it can't be that much different, because then otherwise, like, you know, it would be too annoying to have to refarm everything every season. So I think the best way to improve this Tash is through diversity, right? Like, they added glaives, and glaives are cool. I think they need a little bit of a balance adjustment. I've seen some people do well with them. Surprisingly, I had to get, like, there was the challengers, like, get kills with sniper rifles or glaives for, like, Iron Banner. It was way easier for me to do glaives, bro. Just running up to people, smacking them. You can smack them 3 times before they can smack you, and you're like, pop, pop, pop. And, right. Like, it was fun. So... And I mean, like, bows, I think that is the solution, is, like, they need to expand horizontally, add new gun types. Hey, I've been advocating, add a combat shotgun, right? Every shotgun in Destiny 2 is technically a pump-action shotgun, right? You shoot, and you go, ch-ch-ch. The only shotgun that has a magazine-fed system is the Lord of Wolves. So what if you had a totally different branch of shotguns? They're all fully automatic. They have magazine fed. They all have faster rate of fires than the current shotguns. And right. You just spray them down. None of them are one shot kill. You have to two shot kill, but you can spray people down super fast with the ultimate, like, close range weapon. In PvE, they do insane DPS, but you have to get right up in people's faces. Like, that's what I'm saying. And then someone in the chat can be like, well, that sounds similar to the fast fire rate shotguns. Dude, shut the fuck up. I swear. Like, every time you come up with creative ideas, there's people just like poo-pooing it. Dude, in Destiny 1, I was advocating for SMGs. There's a video I made called like, why they should add SMGs in Destiny 1. And I'm like, you could have all these different archetypes of SMGs, give them better handling traits so they feel different than auto rifles. And so many people were like, no, we don't need SMGs because we already have auto rifles, right? Mm-hmm. But then look at Destiny 2. There's 600 RPM SMGs and there's 600 RPM auto rifles. They shoot exactly as fast and they feel different. A Shayura's Wrath feels quite different than the Gnawing Hunger.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it's like you have all these people that just like are so uncreative and they don't want to like do anything different. But I think that is a solution. Add new gun types, expand horizontally. Because if you do add, a plasma cannon or something crazy, or like a laser rifle or something, right? Mm-hmm. That is new gun type. Then its place in the meta kind of shifts everything around it.
Right.
It's like when bows were added. Like, you still, dude, people run bows in trials and people are good with bows in trials. And if there's a guy on the other team with a bow that's good, or like a Le Monarque
user that has a,
yeah, but you have to play differently just because someone's using that. Right. Like your style of play, you can't use the same things you were using 5 years ago. Or if you do, you have to like, okay, I'm going to avoid lanes. I'm going to play around this guy. Right. So like, even though you, Tash, might still be using a hand cannon, you're going to have to adapt your playstyle around this guy using a bow. And like, hey, I gotta get in closer. I'm not going to be able to engage this guy across this lane. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I feel like that is the way they need to do stuff, is like, you can't just add the umpteenth hand cannon. You got to add something completely new that changes the entire meta around it.
Yeah. Agreed. I searched up my division video of like my God rolled vector, which the SMG, and I crafted like 100 of them trying to get it. And in the division, there was like a lower value of what the DPS could roll and then the higher value.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like a range of like 2,000 or 3,000 just on the base DPS. And mm-hmm. and I think I rolled 3 off the maximum. But then I got plus 46 stability as like a perk. I got headshot damage increased by 24%, and then critical hit chance increased by 8%.
Insane.
And then I flashed inventory, and the DPS on this weapon is 158,000. My other weapon is 64,000. So like, I craft this god tier weapon. I'm like going in 1v5 against people because my DPS is just so unbelievably high, and that's what gets me so excited in games like that. Is like, I have created this absolutely monster thing that is way better than what you have because I put in the time to craft this. And that is like the big thing I'm missing, is like my Raglan D or whatever the shotgun is the exact same as yours. And there's balance in that, and there's good in that, but it just isn't as like sexy. It's not as like, I'm not as attached to anything in the game because of it, but.
Yeah, I agree. Someone said, Kakus, are you still playing Tiny Tina's? Nope. I got to Chaos 20. And got bored and stopped playing.
Yeah.
Like, is nothing. Once you reach Chaos 20, there's nothing to do.
Yeah, it's almost like one of those one and done games for me.
And I might replay. It was fun playing it. I played with like a friend and it was fun. And I might, if I'm going to come back to it, I'm going to start a new character, I think. Mm. That's the fun part.
But it's not a terrible game. It's just like, don't you have to get all the loot luck again? Or does it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what? I might wait until they make that account bound and then start a new character.
Yeah.
Because, like, that is the dumbest thing. Like, find the stupid things again. Like, oh, bruh.
It's a nightmare. Anyways, I think that's going to be it for this episode of RGH, the Real Gamer Hour podcast. We will be doing this most likely next Wednesday night as well. Kakus is going to be in Hawaii, but he might be able to tune in. We'll see how the internet connection and everything is going there.
I'll be in my hotel room in Hawaii, maybe.
Yeah, we'll keep you posted. Make sure to follow us on Twitter to make sure if the episode is going on. Thank you so much for watching. I'm M. Tashed.
I'm Kakus HD.
And this was the Real Gamer Hour.
Mm-hmm.